Welcome to our North Shore High School football preview show. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. In this program, we'll feature some extended audio clips with our North Shore football coaches. We'll take the divisions 1 through 8, beginning with Division 1. It will be St. John's Prep, the number 1 seed, hosting number 8 seeded Boston College High tonight at 6 o'clock over at the Prep. Prep coach Brian St. Pierre on the 3-TD effort by running back Cam LaGrassa in their opening playoff game last week against Leominster. Again, an extended clip with Coach Brian St. Pierre.
Yeah, we were able to start fast on offense, and he was a big part of that. Cam's been really good for us all year. I think the offensive line's been really good. It's been a strength of ours running the football, and that was certainly the case the other night. First play of the game, he went 64 yards. I don't think he was touched. And so that's always a good way to start a game for sure. He only had 8 carries. I think he finished with 180 yards on 8 carries. So it was a short, efficient night, if you will. But it was really good to see our run game go. But I thought we were very balanced, too. We threw the ball around pretty well, made some big plays in the pass game as well.
Yeah, I saw where Deacon Robillard, picked up 147 yards of passing. Not too bad there. And Jack Angelopoulos picked up, two catches, for a total of 76 yards. Is he a new face, offensively for you guys?
Yeah, he's a senior. We have an injury out there, and Merrick Barlow, one of our starting receivers, so Jack stepped up, and he had a big night for himself, and it was really good to see. He works hard. He's been in the program for a while, and it was great to see him get an opportunity to start the game, and he made 2 big catches for us, and it was a big influence in our win.
Any other notes from the offense that you want to share with us, Coach? Not apparent to us, at least in the scoring highlights?
Yeah, I think the offensive line was really good, and I think our fullback, we've talked about him before, Gael Garcia, he's just devastating at fullback. He's the lead blocker on a lot of those runs, and he's just such a big physical presence for us. He's 6'1", about 235 pounds, and he plays like it. He plays behind his pads, and it's just it's an all-day job to go against him for those linebackers having to step up and take him on, and he does a great job.
Well, when you look at the recap of the game, you get a lot of scoring notes, not a lot of defensive notes, but what stood out defensively to you, Coach, in the win last week?
We kept them out of the end zone. They scored on our JVs late in the game, but I thought defensively our first group did a good job keeping them out of the end zone. They couldn't really run the ball a little bit here and there, but we had a hard time containing that QB. He was a great athlete. He scrambled quite a bit on us. He was kind of a one-man show. So there's some stuff for us to fix that way. I don't know that it was our best performance, but it was effective enough. But we need to improve this week for sure.
Yeah, and you've been building, as we've talked about before, from week to week. But I guess we just got to get right back to BC High, your opponent this week. You had them late in the regular season, and now you're playing them for the second time this year in the playoffs at home on Friday night. So, they rolled to a big win over Taunton in their game last week. But what is your take now on facing BC High for the second time this season?
Yeah, it's a different kind of deal when you just saw an opponent 2 weeks ago and now you're seeing them again in the playoffs. But conference opponent, somebody we know really well. So you just kind of take it for what it is. I don't know how much last game matters. It's a new week, and, there'll be some different faces out there for us for sure. But, we know what to expect from them. I'm sure they feel the same way about us, and I don't think there's any love lost between the two groups, so should be hotly contested.
St. John's Prep football coach Brian St. Pierre. In Division 2, Peabody is at home again this week. They're hosting number 5 Barnstable. The Tanners are ranked number 4 in the D2 tournament. In their opening win last week, Coach Mark Betancourt tells us how their sophomore quarterback responded from a so-so game a week ago against Salem.
Bounce back by Luke Maglione. He did not have his best game against Salem the week previous. And when you have a young quarterback, you kind of not worry, but you're concerned which way he's going to go. And he showed his mental toughness and his maturity. I think he completed 6 or 7 of his first passes on Friday night. To let everybody know, that last week was a fluke. This is the real me. I think he was a very, very efficient, made some good choices, still made some mistakes, but, he's getting better every time he gets into a game. And so that was the biggest thing for me, how he would bounce back. I was very happy with the running of Alex Silva and Gene Roman. They pounded the ball real, real well. Made me happy to see those two guys, running the ball the way we want them to run. Pound the ball, put their head down, drive their legs, and get what they can get. We're not looking for them to be finesse players. We want them to be pounders, and they both did a great job of doing that. Eli was Eli. You're always happy with the way Eli plays. He doesn't have, knock on wood, bad games. He goes out and he competes at a high level every week. Offensive line, very happy with their production, controlling that line of scrimmage when we had the ball. Overall defensively, our D-line controlled the line of scrimmage. Our three linebackers, Alex Silva, Donnie, and Jimmy, just really controlled their run game and made it difficult for them to do what they wanted to do and forced them to throw. When I think defensively, Nick Dresser, Jace Jean-Pierre, and Eli, a really nice show of shutting them down. Dolan, Morrell. So overall, just you couldn't have been happier with the performance offensively and defensively. And, Dom pounding those kickoffs into the end zone, avoiding any type of big play for them on special teams. His punts were high and long, and it kept them from returning any punts when we did have to punt. And he put two field goals through the uprights and was perfect on his PAT. So overall, as a coach, in a playoff game, you think there might be some jitters. We didn't show that. And hopefully that carries into this Friday.
Peabody High football coach Mark Betancourt. Now on Barnstable with this extended clip on their opponent tonight and some other notes from the coach.
And the thing is that they're a big school. I'm pretty sure anybody that lives on Cape Cod can choose to go to Barnstable High. So they have a lot of good, talented players on their team. And, watching the film, every time you watch a film, any good team has good players. And in football, it's generally the quarterback, one of the running backs, one of the receivers. Their best player is usually a defensive lineman or a linebacker. It doesn't change. The number changes. And you prepare the same way every week. You do the best you can to, prepare for the other team's best players. And they're going to do the same thing to us. They're going to try to shut down Eli. They're going to try to find a kink in the armor of our defense. We play real good run defense. They may come out trying to throw the ball on us. But it's just a game of chess. And you try to figure out what they're going to do to stop us and prepare for that and come up with a plan of how we're going to stop them. And they're going to try to figure out what we're going to do. And then you make halftime adjustments and you hope that the things that you do are successful and that your kids can execute the things that you ask them to do. The team that's on the same page that executes the game plan generally wins the game. And if you can get over the hype, if you can get over the magnitude of the game, the crowd and the noise, and go out and do your job to the best of your ability, the team that's able to execute that generally wins these games.
Yeah, and I know the old cliche is the team that makes the fewer mistakes is probably going to win in a playoff game. Finally, Coach, tell me about the support that the Peabody Tanners have, not only in football, but overall in all sports, because the tradition is fantastic. I talked with Pat LaMusta yesterday about how he's down over at Linfield in their tradition in a neighboring town. But Peabody, in all sports, just gets such great backing from the fans, from parents, but also from old-timers like me who love to watch football.
Well, it's just funny, the text messages that I got last week before Friday's game. I'm sure they'll come rolling in this Friday from past players, old-timers, Coach Danish, my old coach from high school, usually sends me some kind of a message before a big game. Coach Hagstrom, Scott Vlasic, a lot of the guys that coached me in high school.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Before these big games. And then, my team, guys that played on my team, I'll generally hear from a bunch of them. Steve Lamazny, he'll hear a bunch of his teammates. Justin Powers, a bunch of his teammates. Matt O'Brien. The community of Peabody football is huge. We go to the Blue and White Golf Tournament in August every year, and talk to a lot of the old timers, the alumni, and the guys that, you know, how are you looking this year, coach? What do you think this year? You know, all those guys are watching, and you know that they're excited about the 9-0 start and having a home game in the second round. And I mean, last time we had this opportunity, we lost on the last second Hail Mary pass against Everett.
I remember that. Yes, yes.
We lost the game on the last play of the game.
Yep.
And, you know, that would have been a huge win for us back then, and the support back then was immense. If there's one thing, you know, that doesn't die down, it's the support of athletics by the alumni. And that, you know, it keeps me going. It keeps a lot of my coaches going. Just to know that, you know, that there are so many people in the community that enjoy seeing our football program be successful. And it motivates you. I'm excited to go to practice right now. You're excited to go to practice every day. You can't wait for Friday night. You can't wait to see how you are able to prepare your guys to go out there and make memories that they'll have for the rest of their lives. I told them, I said, guys, we already have some things. You guys will remember the end of that Salem game for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
That is Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt talking with our own Rick Moore. In Division 4, number 14-seeded Marblehead is at number 6-seeded Grafton tonight. Marblehead went on the road and upset number 3 Middleborough last week. Again, here is an extended audio clip with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff on last week's win on the road.
You know, we were fortunate. We got what I thought was a pretty good draw. You know, the game against Danvers helped us out tremendously, you know, built some confidence in us. But, you know, also the win put us in the playoffs. And then we were fortunate with the way that some of the wins and losses went that we got a pretty good draw. And we went up against a team that we were able to compete pretty well with. Kids executed, I thought, great on defense. You know, we made a lot of mistakes on offense that needed to be cleaned up, but we had a pretty good game, and you know, fortunate to be in the position we're in.
Well, now they were a number 3 seed, so put that into some context for us.
You know, I think we haven't perfected the seeding system. I you know, and I'm going to sound like I'm speaking out of two sides of my mouth, but on one side of things, I do believe in the way that it works. I think a team like we are was undervalued by the fact that we had the losses that we had, but they were against 3 of the best teams in the state. And so there's something that has to be counted for that. You know, we sat down, Greg Siglarski and I, the athletic director, we sat down and specifically targeted playing teams of that caliber so that we would ensure that we got points. We've had a couple seasons where we were, you know, either undefeated or one loss, and we still weren't the number 1 seed. So, you know, we really tried to anticipate where the weaknesses were in the NEC. And you see it, you know, you see it with Peabody, you see it with, you know, in their division, you see it with the Lynn teams in the Greater Boston League, where it can hurt you if you don't, you know, pick your non-league opponents wisely. So we really thought we did a good job with that. And then, you know, we were regretting it in the beginning of the year when those teams were beating us, but there has to be something for scheduling those games, and we thought that came back around and worked out well for us. However, you know, it doesn't mean that the rankings are perfect, and some of those teams down on the South Shore, I thought Middleborough had a great team, but you don't know anything about them. You know, they were beating teams. Most of the teams that they played had winning records, and the last 3 teams they played, I think, had 6-2 records, so that put them where they were, and you know, again, it's I don't think they've perfected it yet, but you know you can't complain about it one way if you're going to accept the gifts it gives you in another.
Well, going on the road, you're going on the road again this week, this time against the number 6 seed Grafton. So you've watched a lot of film or video, if you will, on this, and what can you tell us about this week's game?
Yeah, they've got some guys on this team. They're an excellent coach team. They have a really good scheme. Defensively, I think they average allowing 9 points a game, somewhere around there. They just don't give up a lot of points. They have a very good line. They have their right tackle, although he moves around a lot, is 303 pounds. They have a 280-pound guard next to him. So it's obviously a little bit bigger. The rest of the team, it's a little bit more our size, but they have some great running backs, a senior quarterback who really controls the offense well. And, you know, we're going to be up against it. You know, it's going to be a tough game to go on the road, and, you know, again, you know, for another playoff game and then play a team of this caliber is going to be tough.
Marblehead football coach Jim Rutloff. Also in Division 4 tonight, number 12, Burlington plays at number 4, Tewksbury. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff tonight. We move to Division 5, where number 5 Danvers plays at number 4 Dedham tonight at 6. Danvers beat Blackstone Valley 20-19 last week, hanging on for the win at the end after taking a 20-0 lead in the game. Danvers coach Ryan Nolan on trying to establish a balanced offense this week at Dedham.
I think it's being true to what we're trying to do on offense and defense and just continuing to apply pressure. You know, we're the type of team right now that we want to be able to run the ball, get downhill, use our play action game, be able to drop back and mix in, you know, screens to the outside, you know, inside screens as well to our backs and slot receivers, and then be able to have a vertical passing game, a 3-5-step passing game. So, you know, kind of getting all that stuff that we do and work on and stay on schedule with what we do and not fall behind for whatever reason offensively, you know, have successful first and second down plays. And defensively, I think it's just really, really being detail-oriented and not having a slip-up, you know, where we don't fulfill a responsibility. You know, it could be once every 5 plays somebody, we have a hiccup, but that, you know, can really come back to haunt us, and the Blackstone game, it hurt us more than it did typically in games before that.
All right, so now it's on to Dedham, and at Dedham, the number 4 seeded team in the play in the tournament there. They're coming off a 30-6 win over Opponequit. What can you tell me about Dedham? Are they similar to Blackstone Valley or just unique in their own way?
I think in a lot of ways they're kind of a similar team to us. They've had a lot of kids playing for multiple years. They've got some real good athletes in the, at the skill positions, and experienced quarterback. They got a couple kids that are true wide receivers that can go get it and can block. They've got a couple, 2 real shifty backs, you know, number 2 and number 26 that can hit the hole. They've got speed, power. They're a threat at any point. And then they've got a couple of good, solid football players. They've got an H-back, linebacker, number 11, who's kind of the nickelback, too, on defense. And he's a really, really good player who, you know, can tackle, block, catch passes, run with the ball if need be. So they're a real solid team. They've got a real good quarterback that can make the throws, and their line solid as well. And I think they're another blue-collar, hard-working team that wants to run the ball, wants to make plays, wants to be able to play real solid defense. So I think it matches up. It's a real good matchup between the two teams. I think it should be a very good game.
An extended clip there with Danvers football coach Ryan Nolan. Meanwhile, in Division 5, number 7 Newburyport is at number 2 Foxborough tonight at 6. Here is Rick Moore with an extended audio clip with Newbury football coach Ben Smolsky on how the Clippers got it done last week with Auburn and what's ahead this week.
I mean, it was just, you know, taking advantage of the athletes and our skills in the backfield and throwing the ball. You know, just getting on the edge on them. And, you know, Sean Miles probably, I'd say, had his best game running and passing the ball. He's really bounced back from his knee injury from the beginning of the year, and he has a lot more confidence running the ball.
Give me some
up. And then the offensive line still, like usual, they did a great job giving him time and making holes for the backs.
Give me some names who stood out again this week for you guys.
Finn Brennan, really. I mean, he's our left tackle. He's done very well. He got our hard hat award, which is given to not necessarily the MVP, but, you know, just a grinder who gets after it and has a tough game. And he did great there. You know, Jack Sullivan, Colin Fuller, Sean Miles, I already talked about. Sam Craig did a good job making a good catch at receiver. And, you know, Teddy Karen and Jack Smith, our interior defensive linemen, did a great job controlling the line of scrimmage.
I love hearing that. And in Kyle Gaudette's story, you bragged about your seniors. You're proud of them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're talented, but more important than talented, they have class, and that's what I care about more than anything.
Okay, coming up. Now, this is Foxborough, you got to tell me a little bit about Foxborough because, again, it's the top teams going into the final week, it looks like. I don't see any outliers here. Everybody's in the top 8, right?
Yeah, I think for the most part.
Yeah.
But Foxborough, they're definitely a solid team. They posed a lot of problems in the pass rush. They have some defensive ends that get after it. They send the blitz, and they're just aggressive offensively. They can pound the ball and they can throw the ball. You know, they like to set the tone, running the ball hard and in establishing that ground game, and then they open it up and start to throw the ball. And you know, they take advantage of, you know, watching them in film. They had a lot of games where their defense is good at taking the ball away, and then they capitalize on those takeaways.
When you look at them, Ben, do you see yourselves? Do you see Newburyport? Do you guys look similar?
I'd say, success-wise, yes. Record-wise, yes. Style of offense, you know, there's some similarities, but they're more of a downhill, you know, hard-nosed, they power run, mm-hmm. and then they're able to, where we're similar, they like to throw the ball mm-hmm. on, like, those jail screens, those quick screens, and use their athletes, but they're more, and then defensively, you know, defensively, I'd say more similar, offensively a little bit different.
Okay. This time of year, it's very exciting. Do the kids get kind of hyped up? Do you get kind of hyped up?
I mean, we've done everything we can to really focus week to week. I mean, I'd say I think they're hyped up every week. I know I'm hyped up every week.
Okay.
You know, but it's a matter of, you know, just harnessing that energy mm-hmm. and just kind of approaching every week the same way. You know, playoffs, no playoffs. I mean, it would be lying to say that you wasn't a little bit more, not more excited, but, you know, you get a little bit more nervous.
Newburyport football coach Ben Smolski along with Rick Moore here on MSONewsSports.com. In Division 6, number 6, Cardinal Spelman is at number 3, Salem High, tonight at 6:30. Now, Salem football is coming off a win last week at home against Dennis Yarmouth. Every weekend has been a pressure cooker string of games for the Witches of late. Here is an extended clip with Salem coach Matt Bouchard.
I feel like that's what high school football should be every week, right? I know it's given me a few extra gray hairs and, you know, cause fans to be on the edge of the seat every week, but... you know, it's exciting when you have competitive games like that every week, and I know that when it comes to preparation, one of the things that I do think when you're playing close games like this, it inherently gets people to focus at practice because they know it's going to be a, you know, a slugfest to the end.
All right, so you guys are coming off the win, the 33-26 win over Dennis Yarmouth last weekend, while this Cardinal Spelman team took care of St. Mary's 41-30. Again, opponent this Friday night is Cardinal Spelman at Bertram Field. So what do you know about this team? I guess this is a team that has a very dominant quarterback when he's playing, but he missed the earlier St. Mary's game, from what I understand, earlier this season, not the one last week.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think they got a number of talented skill guys, you know, that could put a lot of pressure on defenses. The good news is, obviously, the last 4 weeks, you know, we've had to go against some pretty talented receivers, and I think from a confidence perspective, we're starting to gain that experience going against, you know, dynamic players in space. So, you know, this will be another challenge for us, but I think each week we're getting a little bit better at it, and hopefully, you know, we can put it together on Friday night.
Well, they scored a lot of points last week, and Dennis Yarmouth and you guys both scored. You know, you both were scoring last week as well, but kind of expected a high-scoring game last week for you guys and Dennis Yarmouth with a nice offense themselves going there. What do you think about these shootouts, if you will?
Well, I think that, you know, for us, obviously, you know, defensively we take great pride in trying to prevent, you know, explosive plays. And last week, I thought we did a really nice job for pretty much almost all four quarters. And hats off to Dennis Yarmouth in the last 3 minutes of that game. You know, they were able to generate a number of explosive plays to put themselves back in the game. So I think for me, you know, there's a lot of positives for a majority of that whole game. I think for us this week, it's going to be extremely important for us to finish, right? Those last 3 minutes We can't take the foot off the accelerator. We need to finish things the right way if we want to be successful.
You know, too, Coach, you're involved with teaching every week from season to season. I have to think that the learning curve has been you guys have learned a lot this season. These kids have really come a long way from, you know, day zero, if you will, during August to right now.
No question. I mean, I think, as we've talked before, I think that this senior class has seen a lot that's really given them, the confidence to be playing, some of these teams right down to the wire. I think what was good to see this week was that, we had 3 weeks there where we were chasing from behind to find a way to win. And this week was the opposite. It was, how do we prevent the team from, winning when we have the lead? And I think that's a critical thing. You know, when leads change so much in competitive games like this, especially when you're in the playoffs, having the confidence that, to stop a team or to go score, I think you need, both of those elements. You can't survive on just one.
Absolutely. And so, Matt, let's tell me about, give me a personnel update or two from Salem football from the last several weeks since we've talked. Well, we talked last week, but I mean, about the, is it the same guys, or are you finding a couple of other players kind of emerging from under the shadows, if you will, and playing key roles for games, in games?
I mean, I think there's a lot of, we're real fortunate enough to have a number of players that are really playing in all cylinders. One person I'd like to highlight is Shane Field. I think, he's someone we've talked about, throughout the season, but I think in critical rundown scenarios, we leaned on him on Friday night to get the attention off Devontae, and he really stepped up and, had a strong game running. And then I think, moreover, defensively, he had another outstanding game on defense. And, one of the things that at the end of the game I highlighted about Shane is that he wears number 35, which is an important number at Salem High School. Typically, only elite linebackers are allowed to wear that number. And I really feel like he's taken that number to a new level, set a new standard for what we expect out of players that, wear that number. So real proud of him. And I think going into this week, Carlton Spellman can certainly throw the ball, but they have a strong running game. They run a little bit more than pass, and they definitely use their speed. So, we're going to be looking for Shane to really be able to set the edge and continue his, his physicality.
Salem High football coach Matt Bouchard. Again, they're hosting Cardinal Spellman tonight at 6:30 at Bertram Field in Salem. Also in Division 6, number 5 Linfield is at number 4 Hudson tonight at 7 o'clock. The Pioneers are coming off a 28-0 win over Swampscott. Here's an extended audio clip as Rick Moore talks with Linfield football coach Pat LaMusta on some of the stars from last week's win over Swampscott.
I think the game was pretty close in the first kind of half, and then we were able to pull away in the latter half of the third quarter with a couple big runs from Niccolo Antidormi and Jared Burnaby. But Coach Bush's group, they had a very good scheme, and I think we had trouble passing the ball early on. And eventually we were able to develop the run game a little bit, and I think that propelled us forward. And, we had a couple explosive plays that really kind of gave us a good lead. And the defense just continues to get after it. Mm-hmm. It's a resilient group. They have the next play mentality. Swampscott got a couple deep balls on us, and we were able to kind of rally and force a turnover on downs in the red zone a couple times. So I think, they've been playing, very well, swarming the ball. It's been great, and I hope we can keep it going, because that's been awesome. And you know what? The offense has been great, too. We have explosive athletes that on any given play, Jesse Dorman, Joey Cuccinello, Maddox Iavanelli, Ethan Francis, you know, Niccolo, Jared, Zaire Mitchell. Like, there's a lot of mouths to feed on the offense. It's like they've been great too. And our O line, it's probably the smartest group on the team. And I don't think the other guys would be offended either, because the offensive line, they're students of the game. And they're the nucleus of the whole thing. So. Three captains are offensive linemen.
But, you know, Pat, I ask every single week about the line, and you just mentioned it. And when you talk about smarts and intelligence, there's so many different kinds of intelligence. Tell me again about some of those guys who play so well and make it, you know, make it easier for some of these skilled players.
Like, they're just, they want the answers. They come out to practice wanting to know how we're going to block this certain run play. And then they've already kind of thought in their own minds how they think we block it based on our system. So they're problem solvers, you know, and a few of them are in AP classes, you know. So sometimes you worry, like, geez, are these guys going to hit? And, you know, they hit. They're super physical, too. So it's been an awesome blend of, you know, football IQ and physicality with, you know, from Devin O'Connor, senior, Quinn Hardesty, senior captain, Alex Baldini, senior captain, Walter Radulski, junior, and Anthony Morales, senior captain at tackle. It's just like, it's like the nerve center of the team.
That's tremendous, and I appreciate your description of all of that. I know as a teacher, I saw the evolution of at Gloucester High School of some of the linemen that played for both Terry Silva and Paul Ingram, and they fit exactly that same mold, wherein they're very intelligent kids off the field, but man, are they beasts on the field, and that, boy, that sets the tone. Coach, it's the Elite Eight now. You guys, let's see, you're 8-1, Hudson is 7-2, you have to travel to Hudson on Friday for a 7 o'clock start, and maybe tell me a little bit about the preparation and you know, the game planning for this, and what you know about Hudson.
Yeah, so Hudson looked like a team that has explosive playability with their quarterback in particular. He you know, does a great job extending plays. Their line is big. You know, they have a couple backs that can really hit it hard, and they're on grass, so they're used to the grass field. So sometimes that takes a play or two for us to get our bearings straight. But they have a lot of speed. The quarterback, you know, is cool and confident and slings the ball around. So I think it's got a, they have a similar kind of offensive look to us. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But yeah, I think a lot of it is just trying to not give up any big plays and rein in this quarterback that likes to scramble, and, just keep our offensive guys in a position to, you know, break off a big play in the pass game and establish the run. But, you know, we're willing to throw the ball on any down. So just continue to use that to really pull the defense out and force them to cover our guys.
Linfield football coach Pat LaMusta. Again, Linfield at Hudson tonight at 7 in Division 6. Okay, now just two more divisions to go here. In Division 7, it's number 6 Amesbury at number 3 West Bridgewater. Amesbury coach Colin McQueen on last week's win and the return of injured player Max Sanchez. An extended clip with Coach McQueen and Rick Moore.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Max was the one that jumped out, and the Herald and Globe both honored him with Player of the Week honors. with three touchdowns. But, you know, Mike was able to find the end zone on a couple of two-point conversions as well, and then had a touchdown. Christian had a great rumble from, you know, over 30 yards, where he ran through a couple of tacklers and then was able to get separation and run away from people. But, you know, overall, it was just a collective effort. The offensive line was great, as they have been all year, in opening holes, and our guys ran hard. And then defensively, I thought we played really sound. Did a great job of bottling up run. Got them into some long down and distances, and then forced them to punt quite a bit. And we're able to get some good field position off of that, and then turned it around and converted. But weathering the storm, I thought early was really important for us. We fumbled on the second play from scrimmage in our own territory, and our defense, you know, was surprised they had to get on the field that early after we received the opening kickoff. But they did a great job of standing strong against them. And Benny Wood made a great play on a thrown ball up the sideline, where they tested him early in that corner of the end zone. He was able to bat it down and get off the field, and our offense got the ball back and was able to drive and take control of the game from there.
Would you rather receive the ball or kick the ball off at the beginning of the game?
We like kicking off, and it's really not about what happens then. It's really about that second half, you know, getting the ball at the start of the second half. Whether you're in a position where you're having to get one back to get even, or if you can double up and get that ever elusive double score and flip the game that way. We always like to be able to get it in the second half. But either way, it's an opportunity. You know, no matter how you look at it, you manage the clock well. Hopefully, you can take advantage of that and, you know, establish things offensively, kind of assert your will if you end up with the ball in the opening kickoff. You know,
what's the longest drive you had in the game in terms of number of plays? Because you're pretty much a ball control team, but you can explode too.
Yeah, we had some pretty long drives this past week. I'm gonna say, I'll get it for you right now if you want me to pull it up.
Oh, I love that kind of stat. Yeah.
Because, of course, I got it right in front of me on my computer, ready to go at all times. let's see here. Looks to me like that first successful drive, we went 1, 2, 3. It was a 13-play drive.
Oh, okay.
For that first touchdown score, and then we scored a little bit faster on our other drives later in the game. But that was our longest and most successful. And it was one of those kind of wear them down drives.
Absolutely.
We liked it.
You know, you get that at the first at the beginning of the game, and it does. It sets the defense on its heels and sets the tone for you guys. That's impressive. Coach, this time of year, you know, you guys are sailing along. The kids have been with you now for a long time. They know the drill. What do you look on to improve? I think you mentioned the word consistency, so it's maybe not necessarily needing to improve in all areas, but just staying consistent.
Yeah, and always getting more consistent. You know, I mean, as much as we try to simplify things and make things, you know, as repeatable as possible, there's always things we can correct on in film, and we talked about that stuff. There are things that, you know, as you advance through playoffs each week, you've got to be even closer to perfect. And our kids understand that. They're acting with urgency, and they take, you know, obviously yesterday we had our Monday scouting report. We get out on the field with just helmets on, and we try to clean some of our execution up. And then we always talk about, you know, how we're going to align to their formations and what our assignment is. And we've got our hands full coming up this week. They've got some really good skill guys over there at West Bridgewater. They're able to put points on the board, and they run the triple option really well. And if you don't play assignment football against triple option, you can find yourself in a world of hurt. So we were able to rep that yesterday and understand who's got to get where and who's got to tackle who. And I think if our guys understand where their help is and where their leverage is, as always, you know, we're gonna be okay. But it's really just about continuing to cultivate that understanding and further our understanding of where our help is, because no guy can do it alone. We don't ask them to do it alone. We wouldn't expect them to do it alone. And when they understand the scheme, and then you get some exceptional individual effort within that, you can make some special things happen.
Amesbury football coach Colin McQueen. In Division 8, it's number 7 Kip at number 2 Carver tonight at 6:30. Carver is 9-0, and Kip coach Jim Rabbit tells us this Carver team is the real deal.
Yeah, this Carver team is really good. You know, their record is not overblown, I don't think at all. They have some big wins, most notably Cohasset a few weeks ago in the regular season. And Cohasset just went down and beat Manchester in the playoffs in the D7 playoffs by a score. So, you know, this Carver quarterback, he can really throw the ball. He has receivers, all four, including the running back, and catch the ball. So they're really dynamic. They remind me a lot of our team last year with Juan. You know, so they're really a run-and-gun team, it seems like, and we have to slow their quarterback down and disrupt some timing of their wide receivers' routes, I think. And, you know, it's a team that's been scoring 40 points a game against everybody. So we have to slow them down, and we have to continue to do what we do on offense, and that's put up 30, 40 points of our own. If we can do that, it's going to be a ball game. I think it's going to come down to one or two scores either way. It's going to be a close game, but this Carver team, you know, presents a bunch of problems for us that we have to make sure that we're ready for.
Hey, did you get a chance to see their game against Cohasset or see any film on that game? I would think that would be an interesting one to check out.
Oh yeah, we watched the Carver film. That was the first one we asked for in the film exchange. You know, Carver's a spread team, obviously, so it helps us in that regard also. And that was a back and forth game. That was a shootout. I think it was the overtime win. Carver kicked Cohasset kicked a field goal, and then Carver scored a touchdown in the overtime frame to win it. So you know, it was a really good battle, and you saw some really good things out of them. You know, it was a great learning experience. We had our team watch that full film. It's a great learning experience for those guys too. So, you know, they know what they have in front of them. They know the challenges that Carver poses, and they know we have to have a great week of practice, and we have to execute our game plan, you know, to its fullest extent on Friday to have a chance.
You know, I was listening to PBD coach Mark Betancourt talking with our own Rick Moore, and he was talking about mistakes. Now, his team's 9-0, but they're still making mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, and that's what he was saying. But when you get to this level with a team like this week, Jim, these teams are going to force mistakes, aren't they? I mean, this is what preparation and you know, is all about, I would imagine, and execution, obviously.
Sure, and we talked about that even yesterday at practice. You know, if they're going to beat us, we'll let them beat us. We're not going to beat ourselves. And that's the message that we've had. You know, we can't make our own mistakes. We can't shoot ourselves in the foot. If a team's going to beat you, let them beat you themselves. And this team's certainly good enough to do that. We just have to make sure that we limit the mistakes on our end, because you know that, you know, good teams will capitalize on your mistakes. And then we have to force mistakes on their end, you know, with pressures, with different looks, with our speed and our quickness. And if we could do that and force mistakes on their end, you know, we have a great chance. I think that plays into the turnover battle and forcing turnovers and, you know, trying to get a couple interceptions, things like that. So if we can force them into some mistakes, I think we're in good shape too, and limit our own.
KIPP Academy football coach Jim Rabbit. Check back on the website throughout the day for updates, and especially tonight, as we'll have score updates on these playoff games. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thank you for listening to our North Shore High School football preview show. We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.